This is Alex C. Talander, and welcome to a new episode of Book Banter. This episode is brought to you by EastBayFootLocker.com. East Bay and Foot Locker are a leading world supplier of athletic footwear, apparel, and sports equipment, featuring top athletic brands such as Adidas, Reebok, and Nike. To receive 50% off any order at East Bay, go to EastBay.com and use the custom code AFBOOK15, or to receive 15% off any order at Foot Locker, go to footlocker.com and use the custom code AFBOOKFL. And in this episode, you'll be hearing my interview with the guys from Penny Arcade, Jerry Holkins and Mike Krahulik. We'll be starting first with my review for their new book, The Splendid Magic of Penny Arcade, and then that'll be followed by the interview I did with the guys at a recent book signing. But first, my review for The Splendid Magic of Penny Arcade, the 11.5 Anniversary Edition, by Jerry Holkins and Mike Krahulik. Approximately 11.5 years ago, two four-eyed nerds decided to start a webcomic about video games. They met in high school in journalism class. Jerry Holkins had a penchant for putting words together, while Mike Krahulik liked to doodle. They found common ground in their nerdage and enjoyment of video games. After a couple of comic book attempts, they settled on a webcomic involving two guys talking, bitching, ridiculing, and loving video game systems, and the whole world of video gaming. What began as something fun eventually turned into a voice for the fan to fight back against a terrible game or badly created system. Over a decade later, Penny Arcade is now one of the most popular and longest-running comics on the internet. When asked why they didn't do a 10th anniversary book like everyone else, their excuse was they simply didn't have time, because Jerry and Mike are very busy guys. In addition to churning out a webcomic three times a week, as well as copious blog entries, there's Child's Play, a children's charity that donates video games, video game systems, and toys to hospitals. Started in 2003, it has gone on to generate millions of dollars in toy donations for hospitals worldwide. And then there's PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, which began as an intended small gaming convention in Seattle and brought in over 3,000 people at their first PAX. It has since gone on to become one of the largest conventions in the country, and in 2010, for the first time, there will be a PAX East taking place in Boston. Then there's the Penny Arcade podcast, as well as PAX TV, showing you behind the scenes of Penny Arcade. The Splendid Magic of Penny Arcade is a great compendium of all things Penny Arcade, as you learn about and hear the stories from Jerry and Mike about how they first became friends, how Penny Arcade started, and the many blunders and pitfalls they've made along the way. You also get to hear from the people who work for them and with who do their everyday job so that Jerry and Mike get to play video games and make comics for a living. The Splendid Magic of Penny Arcade is a required book for any fan to go right next to the collected Penny Arcade comic books. And now my interview with Jerry and Mike of Penny Arcade.
How can we help you?
All right, okay. Well, let's get this started then. Thanks for doing this, first of all, guys. Thank you very much. So, why are you guys doing a book to celebrate your 11.5 anniversary, and what's so special about the Magic of Penny Arcade?
Well, we intended to do a book celebrating our 10-year anniversary, which sort of makes sense.
Right.
But we were very lazy people. And so it ended up being 11 and a half years.
Yeah. I mean, a lot happens over the course of the year, and it tends to fall into certain classes of activity. Like Child's Play is a focus for a couple months. And
right.
PAX, and now we have another PAX, you know. I mean, it's just events that sort of cut up, that carve up the year, and there's not a whole lot of time left for larger scale projects like making a book that catalogs our meteoric rise.
So, Jerry, what's an ordinary day for you? How does it start off and how does it run?
I begin by bathing in a waterfall. Well, it happens sometimes. It's not ordinary.
I start every morning with a baby. I just bite its head off.
Yeah, I throw the rest of the baby away.
I waste the baby.
I kind of just want to get an idea of kind of what your days are like.
I come into the office. I'm trying to get some of my work done. These days I want the news post to go up along with the comic strip. I didn't always place the correct level of importance on that. And so a lot of times I will do work at night. So between 10 and 12 sometimes I'll entirely write or complete a news post I started the previous day. So the way that the creative part of the site goes for me is pretty cyclic. Like, it doesn't really start and end in work. I write whenever I can find, 10 minutes to rub together. If I have a phrase that I think is useful, I'll try to put it down. During the day, we tend to collaborate on script days from 10:30 to 12, or as long as it needs to be. We'll write the comic strip. After that, he'll typically begin art production. I will start to write the post. But interspersed throughout the rest of the day are obviously hilarious YouTube videos.
Ping pong matches. Lunch.
Lunch. Recently we've had some longer form projects like creative services stuff that we've managed. And so those things obviously need to get fit in there as well.
Mike, anything you do differently or?
No. I mean, we, like you said, we collaborate on the strip until about noon, and then we go our separate ways, and I draw it, and it looks like porn. Weird stuff, too.
The unusual porn?
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Like, scary stuff. Like, I looked at it once when I had nightmares.
Well, that's what the internet's for.
Yep.
So, do you get ideas for, like, do you each get kind of ideas and put them on the board, or for different ideas for strips and then kind of discuss them?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
is this kind
there,
of like...
there are times where one of us will have sort of a very fleshed out idea and just come in and sort of write it out real quick. But that's pretty rare. Most of the time, a comic sort of forms out of just talking and talking.
Yeah, sometimes we won't actually realize that that's what's happening at the time. You know, we just talk to each other all day, and then sometimes it will occur to us that the things we are saying would actually fit very well.
That's kind of in the book, I think, is a little bit where you got your whole kind of like discussion about it.
Yeah, that's most of the time that's how it happens. It's extremely rare that we'll just come in and go, I got it, let's do it like this.
So what's Child's Play and how did it get started?
Child's Play is a charity that we started with the goal of getting toys and games to kids who are sick and in children's hospitals. And we tried to make it as easy as we possibly could to do that by setting up wish lists on Amazon for each of these individual hospitals. So that if you want to, you can just go to the hospital's wish list, find a toy or a game, and have it sent right to the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, a store like Amazon has spent a lot of money trying to create a system that makes it easy to buy things. I mean, that's their goal.
Right.
And this is a scenario where our goal, which is to make a charity that was extremely lightweight, you know, coupled with their sort of expertise at wrangling the consumer, had a nice overlap.
And now it's going really well, right? I mean, you're just doing it every year.
Oh, yeah.
Millions and millions of dollars. I'll take it.
Well, we don't take it.
So, for a person attending PAX for the first time, what can they expect?
The PAX experience. Well,
in a nutshell.
Yeah, I mean, well, they can expect to see tabletop gaming, console gaming, and PC gaming, alongside a pretty expansive exhibition hall.
Yeah, two nights of live concerts. I mean, typically we have 7 to 8 acts that play the show.
And panels with people from pretty much every corner of the industry.
I mean, every person who comes to PAX is going to customize their experience to a certain extent. Because it's programmed in such a way that it's not possible to see everything.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah.
And so that's a chart that you have to figure out.
Choose your own course.
Exactly. And you need to sort of put your points in different trees and.
So, is this the first year for PAX East, or is that a new thing?
Yeah.
It is. It's brand new. This is the first year.
And it happened because it's doing so well?
Yeah, I mean, it's doing so well, and, you know, we're able to sort of look at the numbers and see that there's a lot of people traveling from the East Coast, and we got even more mail from people saying, oh, man, I would love to go, but I'm stuck on the East Coast.
Right.
So we sort of knew that the audience was there for it.
Yeah, there was a lot of hunger in that, you know, in that department.
Yeah.
And that's going to be in March, right, in Boston?
Yeah, in March. Just a few more weeks.
Do you think PAX could ever expand internationally?
We've definitely talked about it. I mean, that just stands. Like, I sort of talked earlier about how the year is already sort of sectioned off into these different projects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a third show would just go in another quarter, and I'm not sure I mean, that seems like the obvious choice, but I don't...
Where are you going to fit it in?
I don't know how we would do it, yeah,
physically.
So what's the Penny Arcade Scholarship, and how does it work?
Essentially, we open ourselves up to applications, I mean, like any other scholarship mm-hmm. would. But these people in the pool that it goes out to tends to be readers, and we're looking for people specifically who can bring, their spirit to the industry. And so we read over all their documentation, and we read their letters and absorb some of that earnestness. And we try to select the person that we think would benefit the most from it.
Where do you see Penny Arcade in 5 years' time?
It's probably a rubber question.
Yeah, I mean, we're really not the planning guys.
our Penny Arcade experience is pretty immediate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our job more or less is to come up with the larger scale ideas, but in terms of execution,
right.
Overall strategy, that's not true. I mean, our main goal, we have a daily goal, and that is to make
comics.
Yeah, that is to make comic strips. And to be a incomparable voice for the gaming enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job.
We really don't plan ahead.
Our timeline for that is weekly.
3 times a week.
Yeah.
So you guys mentioned in Magic of Penny Arcade that you've got very little spare time. It's kind of what we discovered in the beginning of this interview. So if you did have some extra spare time in an ideal world, what do you guys think you would do? What sort of project might you do?
Children's book.
Yeah, we definitely mm-hmm. we would definitely try to get a children's book out there.
I would love to do like a hand-painted children's book. Like
a picture book type thing?
Yeah.
Sure.
But, I mean, there could be some words in it too. They're not really important. They would be the focus.
Yeah, obviously.
so like a regular picture book, yeah. A couple of sentences and then all
yeah.
work.
like an honest-to-God children's book would be really...
I think that's within our skill set, and we have an interest in it. There's a lot of ideas. Penny Arcade presents a lot of ideas in sort of short form that I think would benefit from expansion. Specifically, the Automata Lookouts, Cardboard Tube mm-hmm. Samurai, Jim Dark Magic. I mean, we've investigated a bunch of these ideas partially, but they could withstand a deeper appraisal.
Longer form. Yeah. So, this is your guys' first book tour. Do you think you will be doing more of them?
Well, this is the first leg of the tour.
Right? Yeah. Wow. Ask us when we're done in St. Louis or
St.
Paul.
St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean...
Weeks from now.
Yeah, you see how that goes. After PAX is the East Coast wing of the tour.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so this is only the first day. Well, I mean, we did a signing last night, and so we're, halfway through the second day, and I am just completely bushwhacked.
I'm already pre-tired, yeah.
With one flight and one...
Yeah,
one flight
to wake up in the morning and fly again.
Yeah, every day. I don't know if it's something with the water content of your body or something. What?
My guess is that there's not going to be a lot of these books.
I'm physically ravaged.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to do, definitely. I'm super excited.
And I love to meet humans. I mean, I love all that stuff. It's just, as a physical act, it's very challenging.
Yeah. It's also tough to, we both have pretty young families.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I have a 5-month-old baby girl at home, and she is an important part of my day. So.
And not being able to see her every day, yeah.
It's tough.
And different, because, yeah, it's the first time you're kind of doing this, yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you guys stay up to date on all, the gaming news, everything that's happening?
The internet.
The web? I mean, just, reading.
Yes.
Just reading blogs and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you asked about an average day, and the average day technically starts, say it's a comic day, it's
mm-hmm.
a Tuesday, and we're going to make Wednesday's strip. We come in, and, around 9, and from 9 to 10:30, we're just each at our computers
reading.
We just have to absorb all that data. But we have an endless appetite for it, because
yeah.
I mean, this is genuinely the subject of our fascination.
Right.
We want very
you can't get enough of it, so.
Right.
And we invest the lion's share of our leisure time in it as well. I mean,
right.
Any spare second is invested in the medium.
So you've mentioned a little bit, playing gaming time. So do you guys have, scheduled time for that as well, or is that kind of
scheduled? I mean, that's pretty organic. I mean, during the
mm-hmm.
day, if we absolutely can't We typically don't play a lot of games at the office. Like, there's usually something else to do. But sometimes, especially if we come back from lunch with something to pick up at the store, it gets popped in. I mean, that's true. But in general, at home, like, after the kids go to bed, it's like the
prime time.
Yeah. Uncut, you know.
Focus.
M-rated phase of the evening.
Okay. Do you guys take weekends off, or is it just nonstop?
Yeah, no, I mean, we try for the sake of our families to work a standard 9-to-5,
mm-hmm.
5 days a week.
But that's not really, it's not really possible to do that.
Yeah.
But it's something that, it's something that you have to try to do.
So, Penny Arcades now is not just you two guys. It's got a whole little company with a bunch of employees. So, what does everyone do? What's everyone else doing?
Alright, so, I'll just run. In my head, I'm going to go down the office. So at the end, you have Jerry and I.
Yeah, you start at the end of the hall.
We make cartoons. Next, you have Kiko, who is our graphic designer. Does website design, t-shirt design, all the design for the manuals, you know, or the programs, all that kind of thing, all the signage and stuff.
All the merchandise and stuff, yeah.
Then you have Robert, who's the business manager. He's the vision guy.
He's a 5-year plan.
Yeah. Probably 10-year plan, yeah. Yeah, then you have Josh, who's the muscle.
The bouncer.
So Josh, I think... You have
office
manager is your title, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So he runs the office for us. And then across is Jeff, who's advertising guy, sells ads on the site.
Greenhouse.
Manages Greenhouse. Across from him is Mike Failauer, who is another advertising guy. Then you have Brian, who is merchandise, getting the shirts and posters made and running the online store. Then you have Dave, backpacks. Then you have
Kristen,
who is child's play.
And enforcers.
And you also have
Erica. The enforcers are the guys you have.
Volunteers.
Right.
And now you have Erica in there, too.
That's right. We just hired a new
assistant designer, Kiko. And then you have, Eric. Yeah, Eric's coming up to the office, too, who's our web guy.
Ah,
so the person. And then at the very end of the hall, we have an office reserved for our friend Scott Hertz.
Just to hang out. And
who does PvP, but he's gonna work out of the office.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
been
Eric. Yeah.
Wow. So you mentioned you guys got kids. Have you already started weaning them?
We didn't get them. I mean, there was a process.
Yeah, but your choice. Have you already started the gaming system with them with kind of an idea of maybe having them work for you guys and work with you guys eventually? Or?
I wouldn't say that I'm grooming him to take over, but...
Family business.
But video games are definitely a big part of our recreation time.
They don't have a choice.
No. But it's just great. It's a great way for us to... play together.
Yeah. Oh, there's another way.
Yeah.
Unless you're the ideal parent who wants them to play games.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, he doesn't know that there's any other kind of parent, you know?
This is what daddy's
right.
Yeah.
Daddy's job.
And my son, his hands are not, like, physically capable of gripping a gamepad, and so the games that he plays tend to be mouse-oriented and PC-based. And there's this German... This is his favorite game. I swear to God. There is a German demo of a game where you operate demolition machinery. And it's just like you just move around a
strong motor
and a pressure drill and a bulldozer. But seriously, this is a level. You destroy a church and then you push all the bricks into these big... crates to be moved away.
So that's like the opposite of like a SimCity building game. You gotta destroy everything.
When he
means Grand Theft Auto.
He will play this until the end of the universe. Uh-huh. Like this is the most fun he can have. And there's also one where you need to do a timed demolition on a brick.
So it does get like harder with each level.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like when he figured out how to do it before I did, where you have to do the demolition and so that it actually falls in the right direction.
And not crush a bunch of people watching.
Exactly. know. But I'm saying that, like, it's just a bizarre thing, but for him, it's like, that's gaming. Like,
so, have you ever guys thought about, just as a one-off thing, switching positions and just to see what comes out?
We've done it a bunch of times.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Well, it was a handful of times.
Three times,
I think.
Yeah.
One was just because I was sick, and he had to do something, because I was, I think, out. I was passed out.
Yeah.
And then the other time was sort of a joke. We'd done a joke inside the comic where Gabe and Tycho broke up and they were making their own comics.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gabe wrote and drew one, and Tycho wrote and drew one. And he literally did draw that.
Yeah, it was about a period doing battle with a semicolon.
Oh, I think I remember that one, yeah.
It's called In the Lair of the Semicolon.
Do you see, well, I guess, I mean, Binning Arcade kind of branching out into different mediums? I mean, I don't know if you guys will have the time, but kind of like, you know, there's potential like a TV series or a movie.
We have a show.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
Binning Arcade.
PGA TV.
PGA TV, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, a web series, I think, is, right now, that's about all we want to do. I mean, we've definitely been approached about, like, an animated series before, but the amount of control you have to give up to do those sorts of projects just really doesn't interest us.
And it doesn't have to.
Yeah,
we don't have to make decisions
to
right.
based on their profitability or
right.
You know, we can make a decision based on the product we want to make, and right now we like being in control of it.
So for my last question, you might be aware that there's an existence of Gabe Tycho Slash online.
Oh, there is. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of it.
Do you guys think you're going to ever do something this in the strip and acknowledge it? Or?
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, obviously, we don't have any problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Fanworks, as a general rule, we don't have any concerns about. But that I don't see that happening in the strip.
Yeah,
it's totally fine though. Some of it is pretty funny. And maybe they made it to make me mad, but.
Some of it's really good.
Yeah, some of it's hot, actually. And at the same time, like, it's like they had to think, you know, they think about Pioneer Cave so much, for good or ill, that it made them create something. And I'm perfectly satisfied with that kind of notoriety.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks very much for doing the interview.
No problem.
Cool. Thank you.
And that was my interview with Jerry Holkins and Mike Krahulik of Penny Arcade. And that about wraps up this episode of Book Banter. Thank you very much for joining me. You can always find lots more interviews as well as lots of book reviews at bookbanter.net. I hope you enjoy the new site design, and if you have any questions or comments or suggestions or possibly someone you'd like to see interviewed on Book Banter, be sure to send me an email at alex@bookbanter.net. The new and original Book Banter theme song you heard on this episode was co-written by me and my good friend Chris Fletcher, though, to be honest, he did most of the work. But going forward, this will be the Book Banter theme song we'll be using on each episode. And that's about it. Thank you once again for joining me. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you next time on Book Banter.